Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Patriots receiver Antonio Brown is accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer.
We're talking about a lawsuit for money damages based on the conduct the accuser said happened at the hands of Antonio Brown.
Dale Arnold.
And my understanding is that Antonio Brown is here with his teammates going through the normal meetings. The tone here, Greeny, has turned very serious. This was supposed to be a very exciting day.
Rich Keefe.
Hey, Rich. This is Dan.
I don't know about that.
Holy s***.
Dale and Keith, middays.
White Claw Wednesday.
What's Hell no.
It's a Wiggy Wednesday.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about this. I'm kind of curious. Could you check and see what Dad's got to say today? You know, if he's
I bet it's the same answer.
Left
I bet
messages.
It's the exact same response would be my guess.
Dad left you
news.
A message, you
oh
know,
my God.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, he did. No, that was a little bit different. A little bit different last night.
Wiggy's in the house. It's our Wiggy Wednesday, and Lord knows we all probably had about the exact same reaction last night as this story started to come out. I'll give you my reaction was, holy crap.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's got a lot of aspects to it that are still unknown. There are a lot of moving parts here. But I will also, just in the interest of giving you this, the Washington Post came out with a piece just a few minutes ago. The first paragraph. The NFL will give serious consideration to placing Antonio Brown on paid leave via its commissioner's exempt list, according to multiple people familiar with the situation after he was accused in a federal lawsuit in Florida of rape and sexual assault. So it would appear that the commissioner is already looking at the possibility of taking him off the football field for Sunday's game.
Now, I wonder if it was because of the timing that Tyreek Hill was not on the commissioner's mm-hmm. exempt list. Because wouldn't that seem kind of fitting? Like, as they were trying to find all the information there and as that was going on. Now, maybe if that happened in the season, they would rather than
during the off-season
they said, all right, we can get this figured out. And maybe that doesn't really apply till the season because the other guys that were on the exempt list in the past were, what, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, maybe somebody else. Like, that was kind of the guys that got put there. So maybe that ends up what happens with Antonio Brown.
And the question becomes how long, obviously, does he put him on this list? Is it something that he does for, like...
Because if this thing goes to trial and they want to wait till the end of that, now, they're probably going to do their own investigation. But let's say it goes to trial. And we're going to talk to Michael McCann an hour from now. He can give us more details on this. But if you believe what everything that I've read, that it could be a year, two, 3 years, like that could be his whole career. So they're going to have to make a decision, either yes or no, probably before that happens.
And I would think that they would probably lean towards not putting him on that list, right? Because, like you said, who knows how long this thing takes, right? And then you also got to factor in that now they have to do an investigation, and there was no criminal investigation that was done. So now they got to try to find some evidence of.
It's their own investigation, right? Because it's not a criminal investigation at all. So they're going to have to come up with their own. They wouldn't be interfering, as this article points out. It would just be the NFL kind of looking into this.
And what will they do? You know, when they do their investigations, what do the NFL usually do?
But the NFL...
They're going to talk to her.
But then remember Ezekiel Elliott? Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, what should we do? They're like, don't punish him. There's nothing here. And they're like, okay, 6 games. It's like, what? So, like, you don't even...
There's no way to predict. The league's awful at it.
And in the Ezekiel Elliott situation... Wasn't that from the incident that he had at Ohio State?
I don't remember. Okay. I think it was after that. But either way, mm-hmm. they did an investigation. They asked for the recommendation for punishment. They said no games. They said, okay, we'll take that into account. And then they still popped him for 6 games.
Here's the thing to keep in mind is that accusations like this, unfortunately, are not as uncommon as you might hope. Derrick Rose...
Yeah.
Had the exact same thing. He was not criminally charged. There was a civil case. The NBA waited for the disposition of the civil case. He was found not responsible.
Right.
And the NBA said, there's nothing to see here. We move on.
Right.
And it just continued on.
Right.
That's the most likely scenario here from the NFL's perspective. The problem that you've got is that there are so many question marks surrounding this particular person.
That's the problem.
And the stuff that's gone on here. I think the NFL may, and according to the Washington Post piece, they may be just saying, listen, fellas, let's not put him on the football field Sunday. Let's give it a few days to breathe here and figure out what's going on.
Going back to the reaction last night when this thing first came out, my biggest takeaway immediately was that this just sucks so bad because it is something that should be taken so seriously.
Right.
And both sides here, what we're dealing with is either what, if it's true what Antonio Brown is being accused of, if that is true, that is horrible. He's an awful person. If it's true that he raped somebody, throw him in prison, right? Like that is as bad as it can get. On the other side, if it's true, if Antonio Brown is innocent and now you have somebody who's lying about it,
then she needs to be thrown in jail.
That's awful. Right, and so what we're dealing with, like, right now, the two people at the center of this, somebody is awful. Like,
right.
And we don't really know yet. We're trying to piece together everything.
Right.
But that it's such a serious
topic. But in the climate and culture that we live in today, right, the person that is probably viewed as the awful person is the one who is accused of doing this, right? When you see these situations, and like I said, there's been a number of situations that, you know, I always go back to the Sean Oakman one, the kid who played for Baylor. Like I said, I played with a guy named Antoine Winfield, and his son, Antoine Winfield Jr., played at Minnesota, and the Minnesota Golden Gophers football players had a situation like this. When you look at the, obviously we know about Duke
lacrosse,
right?
Yeah.
It's in this situation, it's just the climate that we live in. You know how they say you're innocent until proven guilty? When your name is tied to that, you are instantly viewed as guilty until the evidence comes out proving that.
Right. Like if you're accused of sexual assault, it's almost like if you're accused of being a racist, it's like one of those things where you're like, all right, now I got to. That's on you. Now you got to try to flip it.
When did you stop beating your wife?
Yeah, right, you're like, well, what the hell?
I got to stop proving that. I have to prove it without a shadow of a doubt that I did not do this.
But I personally, it's something like this, such a serious accusation. I always want to believe the woman in this case.
That's a lot of people have that
but
idea.
But there are, you just rattle off 5-6 examples.
Right.
And just in the sports world alone, we've heard of a bunch of different examples. And when you start to get into it where this guy is a multimillionaire,
right.
And that's the other part of this too, Wiggy, is Antonio Brown's on all the headlines, and Brittany Taylor's name is in there, but nobody knows who that is.
Right.
It's, you have a super famous person, and then you have somebody else that is making these accusations. And you would think that she would be telling the truth, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have found examples where that is not the case. And also, Antonio Brown and his PR team, again, whether this makes him innocent or not doesn't really mean anything, but they immediately come out and are saying no,
right?
Because sometimes you'll see guys like go into hiding and like you don't hear a word from them at all,
right?
And maybe that's what their lawyer's telling them to do. If it was me, I would say, if this was me and I got accused of something like this, I would immediately say, no, I didn't do it. Like, we'll figure it out, but I didn't do it.
Right.
Like, we'll get there. We'll figure out all the details later, but I didn't do it.
I'd be doing it, you know, I'd have a press conference about how I'm innocent. And I think when some of the things you factor, and the other thing, obviously, when you factor into these situations, when we're talking about athletes and celebrities, you got to instantly think about the money situation, right? It's about, and we've seen some of these things, and it's like, okay, we know money is at
is
the reasoning on why that we might be at this bridge that we're about to cross.
There's a couple of factors involved here. The initial leak of these text messages, they were put out there by a guy, a Twitter handle, Incarcerated Bob.
Okay, I guess the scoops.
He has had a lot of stuff in the past.
Yes.
He first put this out on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't follow Incarcerated Bob. I didn't see it. I don't know if a lot of people did see it, but it would kind of stand to reason that this may have exacerbated the timing on the alleged victim's part, where they've been thinking about, you know, filing a civil suit. They don't. Oh, wait a minute. It's out there now. OK, now we got to get we're going to court Monday morning, which is what they did, and file the suit. I got a call at 6:30 this morning from a pretty reliable source who told me the Patriots were aware of this when they signed him. They did not go into this blindly. Mm-hmm. Whether they follow incarcerated Bob or not, I don't
they
know.
They probably should. The guy's got right. some
well,
stuff.
I mean, so he's got some- so I had a couple of questions, and my source didn't know the answer.
Okay.
First of all, were the Patriots aware of it because Antonio Brown or Drew Rosenhaus said, hey, listen, fellas, just so you're aware,
right.
this may be coming out. There's nothing here. I'm totally innocent, but I want you to know that this may be happening. And
right.
and you would feel better about it if that was the case. You'd feel, okay, he was up front with him. I will tell you that what I was told was that the Patriots, at least short term,
mm-hmm.
came to a determination that his story holds up in this.
Right. So they think that, there's going to be an absolute... bleep storm for a little while,
right.
but they think that he could come out the other end of it and he could eventually be playing for him.
But see, going off of that, then I would ask the question, so going into Oakland and them trading for him and this, that, and the other, and did then the Oakland Raiders know that this potentially could be coming
up? I think they were aware of it prior to them releasing him. I think they knew that this was percolating, that this was a possibility. I'm not saying that's why they released him.
Mm-hmm.
I think they felt they had other reasons as well, but that was part of the whole release.
Because I think a lot of people said when this first came out last night, I think some of the knee-jerk reaction was, oh, the Patriots should cut him. Which,
right.
again, not my knee-jerk reaction, not just because I like Antonio Brown the player, but it was like, all right, let's see what his side is. Like, this
right.
wasn't as cut and dry as Aaron Hernandez.
Right, right.
Again, and I hated any of those comparisons anyway, but when that happened, they cut him.
Right.
Like, that was immediate. Well, this is so different than that, but... If it's true that they knew about it ahead of time, then they definitely aren't going to cut them for this.
No,
they're going to want to see how this plays out.
Yeah, they're definitely going to say, all right,
right,
you know, well. But the thing that I look at...
I'll be curious to see if he's on the practice field at 12:40 today.
Right.
He's in the building. Mike Reese
reported. He's there. Yep.
He's in the building. He's in meetings. I understand all that.
Was he on time?
I don't know that. Okay. Mike didn't say.
Well, as far as we know, he was, so...
But my question is... Will he be on the practice field? Now, if he's not, then it's clear he's not playing Sunday.
Right. Well, see,
because the league said it, or the Patriots said, look, let's back off for a week. Whatever the reasoning is, if he's on the practice field today, my assumption is that their plan is to play him until the commission says they can.
I just wonder how long can this keep going? Like, does the league, and maybe even the Patriots, but specifically the NFL, are they going to have... significantly more information Wednesday?
Here's where I find it to be sketchy, right?
Okay.
Here's where I find it to be, this is all like, what's his name? The Bob guy, whoever.
Incarcerated Bob. Yeah, come on.
This is where I find it to be like, okay, so he puts out whatever it is on social media that this thing could potentially be coming down the road. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, wait a second. Or her lawyers go, we need to get out ahead of this. Here's where I find it to be sketchy. The last incident occurred May of 2018, right? Which is, you know, a year and how many months ago. You're telling me that this incident occurred and over that time, there was nobody that knew about this information or nobody that knew that this was going on and all this. You generally, stuff like this, it starts to, you know, that word leaks around and there's whispers and there's this and there's that. And
I don't know, though. I feel like things can take time. Like, people don't...
Over a year and what? How many months is that?
The Michael
months?
Jackson stuff is just, like, all coming out.
Yeah, but there was always
rumblings.
Yeah, there was always
point.
Rumblings.
Yeah, there were some rumblings.
There
about
was
that,
always
I,
rumblings about that.
We
heard no rumblings. We heard nothing about this until
yesterday.
Yeah, till the day.
But
that
if I'd followed Incarcerated Bob, I'd have seen rumblings on Saturday.
But
to take her side for a minute here, just if you're sexually assaulted, I think a lot of people view it as, well, why didn't you go tell the police the next day? That's not always how it works.
Right.
Right. So sometimes
right.
it is going to be months
down
the road.
Even if it is months down the road,
yeah.
right? We might
yeah.
have heard about this, you know, if it happened May of 2018, maybe we hear about it September of 2018.
No, and I mean, Antonio Brown was, for the last month, has probably been the most talked about athlete in sports.
Easily.
Right? And so it's not like... It was just the Patriots thing, though. That's why I also wonder, like, the timing is strange because of the Patriots, but 2 weeks ago, he was just as talked about.
Right.
Don't you think? Like, it could have also come out then. I'm surprised it didn't.
If not, he was, you know, obviously he's been talked about so much, but like you said, since Hard Knocks basically started,
right.
this guy has been taught everywhere.
I mean, his helmet issue, everything.
I'll say this, and you guys know, because we had this discussion last week. I was not in favor of the Patriots pursuing Antonio Brown. And this is not me taking the victory lap today, because I think there's some serious holes in her story, which we'll get into as the morning goes along here.
Right.
But I will say this. Let's go with the absolute best case scenario for Antonio Brown. He is 100% innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. This is a money grab by this woman. Mm-hmm. All of the things.
Right.
On the first day of practice, he is a gigantic distraction. Already.
Yeah, but I don't think it carries over onto the practice field, do you? Yeah.
No, but my point was he carries a certain amount of baggage with him.
He was a distraction anyways.
I don't think they care. I really don't. I think that, and that's another reason why they brought him in, and we're going to operate under the impression that they knew about this, so they knew it was only a matter of time till this was going to blow up. Maybe they didn't think it was going to be right before the first game that he was going to play, but they knew that this could happen.
They knew there was a distraction there anyways.
Just like Josh Gordon was a big story. Not that Josh Gordon came in with anything like this on his case. But he was, every teammate was asked about him. Every single time there was a media scrum or a press conference, hey, how's Josh Gordon? Like, what's Josh Gordon doing? What's he doing? You know, Wiggy, you mentioned before we went on the air, Tim Tebow and like the circus that he brought in there. They're fine with it. They're like, okay, bring these guys in.
And you think about the distraction, right? See, the thing about it, the Antonio distraction was so big because of the helmet and the foot situation. They already knew that they were getting that. You know what I mean? So now you just add this into that.
Right. Think about it. All the interviews that have been done, you know, we talked to Daron Harmon and James White. Greg Hill talks to Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. All the interviews that you've heard so far, has there been a single one that hasn't mentioned Antonio Brown?
No.
Right, they're going to anyway. Now, this is a much more sensitive topic, and this is, it's much more, you know, difficult to really get into. But still, he was the number one question for everybody. Bill Belichick had two conference calls yesterday, and even if this didn't come out, press conference today, first question would have been about Antonio Brown.
By the way, Bill Belichick is scheduled to meet with the media at 11:45 this morning. We're going to go to it live. Now, I can almost give you word for word what he's going to say.
I think we all could.
I mean, we know, statement, but we're going to hear him say it anyway.
Right. Legal matter.
We've put out a statement on that. It's under investigation. We'll have no further comment. I mean, we know what he's going to say.
But is this the one, though, Dale, where they send a couple of the old bulldog reporters?
They
not just going to be the sports guys down there. It's going to be some
of
those
news guys.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
No, I know it doesn't. They've done it before.
It's like Dale said, here's the statement, and then any other question, it's a league matter, and they'll handle it, and we'll abide to whatever decision that they make.
Right. Yeah. And I will also make a prediction here, just a guess on my part. Tom Brady's session at the podium is scheduled afternoon. Yeah. I'm going to think that might get pushed back till like Friday,
that
which happened on a number of occasions last year. And that brings me to my next question.
Yes.
If my source is right, if the Patriots had an inkling, they were told by Antonio Brown or Drew Rosenhaus, or they follow incarcerated Bob, if they had an inkling, did they tell Tom Brady?
So you want my Keefspiracy?
Before Tom Brady said, Antonio, come on over to the house. Stay with us.
Right.
And if they did not, if I'm Tom Brady, I might be a little steamed right now.
Yes, I would be too. But my Keefspiracy here is there was, and Dale, you're the first to point this out, he was kind of not thrilled that that information got out.
He didn't like that at
Tom
all.
Tom Brady did not like that Robert Kraft told Al Michaels, and Al Michaels told the world that he was being, and then that became a question in postgame. It became a question with Greg Hill. It became a question with Scratchy. And maybe one of the reasons was he was aware of this, and he didn't like the look of, oh, this guy's staying at my house right now. So he's still staying at his house,
but
he didn't want people knowing it.
But if he was aware of it, they took a selfie together, right?
Yeah, but who released that? That's still so strange. We don't know the answer to that.
Well, somebody did.
It was some kid. Like,
it was
the kid
a high
there?
School lacrosse player from Connecticut.
In Brady's house?
Well, that's...
I don't know. He got the picture.
We don't know.
I don't know what happened.
That's who initially gave it to Barstool, who posted it.
But neither of those guys took
posted
that picture.
It. Yeah.
Whoever took that picture was in Brady's house.
No, I know.
So, and they have a... So, if you're in Brady's house, that means you got a pretty good relationship with the guy.
I would say so.
And to take a picture and then send it to some random kid?
I don't understand. I don't get that part of the story.
I really don't.
We didn't understand it yesterday.
Because Brady and Brown are both very active on social media. Neither one of those guys posted the picture.
Right.
And then it ended up coming out. I think Barstool had it because this kid sent it to
them. My only guess is one of them posted it, immediately deleted it, but this kid got a screen grab before it
disappeared.
No, people would have been on to that, though.
I would think so.
Yeah, I think people would have been on. They would have sniffed that out.
You want a Keefspiracy?
Yes, of course I do.
Here's what happened, right? So the pitch is taken.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's taken by somebody in that house.
Right. The call's coming from inside the house.
Yes, it has a very good, very good relationship. Mm-hmm. Here's what it is. AB, you don't put it up on social media. I won't put it up on social media.
This
picture will just happen to make its way out there.
Yeah.
Because the person that took it, you know, you don't think he's going, hey, if you take this picture, you better not put it up on social. Or if you are going to do.
Because now they can't get in trouble for it.
Like, make sure there's no paper trail.
I don't know.
There are so many unanswered questions as we sit here right now, and we'll try to delve into some of them with Michael McCann, a sports law expert, UNH law professor from Sports Illustrated and SI.com. He will join us at 11 o'clock, and we'll try to dive into. Look, I can only speak for myself. Let me just make this clear, okay? You will not hear me say this woman is lying. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some questions about her story.
Sure.
There are some holes in her story, right, which at first blush to me don't make a lot of sense.
Right.
But we'll talk to Michael McCann. The first thing, and I know that this is not necessarily unprecedented, but the fact that there is no criminal case, that she never reported this to the police or the authorities, that there's now a civil. And now we mentioned this happened to Derrick Rose as well. There was no criminal charges, but there was a civil case brought. Mm-hmm. So it's not unprecedented, but it seems unusual to me.
Right. And do we know where the incident took place? What they're saying is his home. So is that in Florida now? Could the prosecutor in Florida now pick it up and say we're gonna try to turn this into a criminal case?
I don't know.
Of the civil case,
it's a good question for
the
McCann.
Allegations that are being said.
I don't know.
It's like you said. I think it's a really, really, and there's a piece of me that's saying the way that this comes out, the Oakland Raiders, do the Oakland Raiders have anything?
You're putting the Raiders on this? They're trying to get back at them?
Because the way this comes out.
I don't know. I mean, they can't make, well.
But not make, but maybe like, you know, hey, you know there's always that kid in school that's egging everybody on to do something?
Yeah.
You know, were the Oakland Raiders that kid in school that egged her on?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We will talk to Michael McCann just after 11 o'clock. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, just after 1 o'clock. We'll carry the Bill Belichick press conference live at 11:45, even though we know almost word for word what he's going to say.
Could surprise you today, Dale.
Probably not, but you will hear it. If he does surprise us, you'll all know at the same time. Wiggy's in the house with us, Dale and Keefe.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
And my understanding is that Antonio Brown is here with his teammates going through the normal meetings that players go through on Wednesdays. And the expectation at this time is that he will be on the field with the Patriots for their practice scheduled for 12:40 this afternoon. The tone here, Greeny, has turned very serious. This was supposed to be a very exciting day for Antonio Brown and the Patriots, his first practice with the team.
Mike Reese down at Gillette Stadium earlier today. As Mike Giardi points out, and we told you that Mark Maskey in the Washington Post reported just before we went on the air that the NFL is considering putting Antonio Brown on the commissioner's exempt list. Mike Giardi, just so people are clear on this, he tweets out, if Antonio Brown is put on the commissioner's exempt list, he can't practice or travel with the team or be on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
He would, however, be allowed to attend team meetings and work out at the facility. The exempt list means he would also be paid. So he could be at the facility right now, going to meetings, working out, doing all that stuff. I want to see if he's on the field at 12:40 today.
And they'll be able to see that because the media members down there can watch the beginning of practice, right? That's when they get the little tally. And then later on today, we'll get the practice report, which will come out by the team. And it'll say whether or not he was out there. They'll have to say, did not practice. And if he didn't, well, then maybe he's already on the commissioner's exempt list, right? I mean, maybe that's already happened.
But I think if he's on it, right, don't we think that that leaks out rather than...
Yeah, yeah, well, we might get that. We'd get that part of it.
See, but I don't think they put him on that list, right? Because I think, like Rich, you said, who knows how long this investigation will take. And now, you know, as far as we know right now, we like you said, we have two people. One's telling us one thing and the other one is telling us another thing, right? So if you're Antonio, if you're looking at the league and you're Antonio Brown and you got to go, you're saying to him, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do our investigation. We'll allow you to play and do whatever it may be and all that other stuff. But once we figure out, we determine what we found and what we're, you know.
Well, because there's a few different ways you can go. Like the timing, and they can do this at any point, too. And so the article in the Washington Post says, if the league opts to put Brown on paid leave, it also would have to decide under what conditions he would be permitted to come off the exempt list and how it would react, for example, to a prospective settlement of the civil lawsuit. Brown, of course, has denied the allegations. His NFL leaders plan to meet Wednesday, which today, about the matter. The league potentially could allow Brown to begin playing for the Patriots while its investigation proceeds, and then place him on paid leave at some point if the NFL officials believe that that is warranted. They could put him on today, or he could play in the game on Sunday, and then they could put him on the thing on Monday.
Well, and I'll also say this. It would be a poor precedent on the part of the league if they did this.
Did which one?
If they put him on the list.
Put him on right now. Okay.
A simple unsworn civil lawsuit takes a guy off the field.
Right.
There's no sworn testimony.
Because you could see that happening again too. Because
everywhere.
I'm not going to say it's going to happen every week. But
no,
you could see
week.
It happening. You know, hey.
Right.
You know what? I got something to say about this guy too.
Right. Exactly. And then it'd be a little bit easier for extortion.
Well,
if you're close to somebody and you say, hey, I'll do that. Be like, look what could happen.
Right.
Like you're not going to be playing on Sunday if I come out with this.
If they put him on this list, it could potentially open up Pandora's box in the future for others.
Right.
But the reason why I don't think they put him on the list, right, is because if they felt a certain way and you know, you look, they're always investigating everything, right? Don't you think that they would have had, I would say, maybe if he threatened Mike Mayock physically, that would have been, you know, a situation where you could have said, hey, we're going to put this guy on this list because he physically threatened an NFL employee.
Yeah, because the personal conduct policy is a very kind of blanket thing to toss out there. Because we thought even Robert Kraft's situation was going to be under the personal conduct policy. Nothing really came of that.
Right.
This is more serious, clearly, than what was going on there. But still, the same point is you can make anything you want fall under the personal conduct policy.
Right.
And you could be suspended for that.
But I think what makes it hard with this situation is really he said, she said thing for the NFL and them trying to have to investigate this, right? So if you say to Antonio Brown, we got to put him on this list, it's very difficult to do that because you don't have enough information, you don't have enough evidence as of right now to kind of make those decisions. I think you have to go, if you're the league, and you have to say, which I would say for any play, the way they did it with Tyreek Hill is...
See, I think what you do is you kind of put it on the team, and on the one hand, maybe that's not fair, but that's what it is. They're the team that took a chance on him, so they have him. If you're the league, I think you investigate it.
Right.
You let it play out as it happens. And if you come across some information that makes Antonio Brown look really bad,
then you
can immediately put him on that list and then you can suspend him. But in the meantime, I think you probably have to go. And again, the league has gone. There's so many examples of them not doing it this way, the innocent until proven guilty. And then there's other examples of them waiting it out. I think that makes the most sense right now is for them to let him play. But also now the Patriots have to also take that chance because they could play him in the game, let's say, on Sunday, and then you find out Monday, ooh, wait a minute, there's a little bit more information, and this woman is telling the truth,
right?
And now you're the team that let that guy play, kind of knowing that something could happen, or something more could come out on the story.
Doesn't it kind of go like what the league did with the Tyreek Hill situation, is where they said, hey, listen, we're not going to do anything until we get all the information and evidence.
Yeah.
And what we will do is allow the Kansas City Chiefs to do what it is they want. Because remember, they were like, Kansas City should cut him.
Yeah, because didn't they send him home or something?
And Kansas City was like, wait a second, we're not going to cut him. What we're going to do,
no, we're
just going to say, hey, go home, get away, and then once we get enough information.
And now he's out, what, 4 to 6 weeks anyway?
Yeah, but he just signed the new deal.
No, he did get that new deal.
I will tell you that Drew Rosenhaus will be on SportsCenter at noon today. Well, we will obviously Obviously, Drew Rosenhaus, I'm sure he's the one who procured the legal representation that, you know, just came out with all guns blazing.
They came out with a lot of information. Well, again, whether it's true or not, we don't really know.
But they
came out with a whole bunch of stuff. And they clearly weren't blindsided by it, because I don't think you type that up in 2 seconds.
But you know what that does when you come out with guns a-blazing? It now really puts you in the position to say, okay, you better be telling the truth, right?
Right.
Well, especially if you threaten a countersuit, which I'm not sure is sound legal strategy. We'll ask Michael McCann about that.
Yeah.
You know, when you threaten the countersuit, it's like, okay, you're willing to go into court and talk about this too?
Because I've always, like, that would be my reaction, my knee-jerk reaction. If I was accused of something that I know I'm 100% innocent of, not only would I immediately come out with a denial, I probably would counter. I'd be so pissed. And
want to do everything in your power to get your message
kind of clear your name. And even though, hey, maybe it's not going to completely work, because people are going to hear that first headline, they're going to believe it. But
what it'll do is it'll say, okay, this guy is basically putting himself out there to now, if he's lying in any way, then he looks really bad.
Like Rafael Palmeiro style.
Yeah, so if he's lying in any way, if Antonio Brown's coming out.
Then you lose any kind of credibility you ever had. You look like an absolute, well, I mean, he's looked like a clown at times but worse.
And that's why I think in this situation, I think the league kind of just, they say, hey, listen, we're not going to do anything until we get all the information, and then we'll make a decision, and we'll go from there.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937. Michael McCann will join us at the top of the hour. Nick in Rhode Island, you're up first on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think you're carrying this from all different sides, and I appreciate it. I think the one factor, though, that I do worry about for the Patriots is the, you know, the tension in the locker room Giselle factor, because here Tom has gone, stretched himself out, basically said, you know, I'll bring you into my house, even though it may be the guest room, or take some pictures with him and stuff like that. Do you think that Tom Brady knew what the Patriots knew? I think that's going to be a question you're going to see on the field today, because if Giselle gets involved, and, you know, feminism as she is and other things, I think you're going to see a different relationship maybe between Tom and Giselle, or Tom and Antonio, and I kind of worry about that, because that could mess up a little bit of the Patriots, you know, connections and the way that they handle their business, because now you've got some personal issues, and bigger, you know, place issues involved.
If Brady thinks that the Patriots had an idea this was coming, didn't say anything to him, Tom's got him over at the house, I could see where Brady would have some real issues with that.
Well, last week I invited...
By the way, he may invite him anyway.
Yeah.
But just tell me what's going on here.
And I'm wondering
is there a conversation where Giselle comes, you know, walking out of, you know, one of the many rooms in their house and says, you looking at Twitter? You guys looking at Twitter?
Right.
Like was she taken back by it? And it's like, what is this guy doing in my house?
I'm wondering how much has anybody known, not just the Patriots, the Raiders, the Pittsburgh Steelers, how much, you know, Antonio Brown, how much has anybody known within the year and 4 months that the last incident took place, alleged incident? How much?
How many people?
Right,
I don't know.
You know, like, what was out? Because this is all, I see,
she says that there was a teammate of Antonio Brown. So at that point, it was a Pittsburgh Steeler that was there. It's an unnamed person, but I would say they would be pretty pretty important piece of the puzzle here. You know,
and what did he see?
If there's a witness that can... You know,
and what was
and get I Brown think, in trouble there?
And other witnesses were like, "What was the relationship like? What were their interactions?"
Well, Brown admits in the thing that his PR team came out with, he admits there was a consensual sexual relationship.
They're saying that in that thing is they went out to the strip club together and having a good time.
Right.
So, like, I think you would see the interaction amongst them. What was their interaction like? Were they all flirtatious and giddy and that kind of stuff, or was she very like standoffish towards him? But these are things I feel like we would have been hearing about.
Giselle just posted on Instagram a few minutes ago.
Oh, boy.
It is a picture on a beach. Very scenic picture.
No, she's not even here.
I'm not sure how old the picture is.
Oh, okay.
She wrote, and I'm quoting, "It's easy to make quick judgments about someone, But what a person shows to the world can be just a tiny piece of themselves. We never know what someone is really going through, all their challenges, pain, and scars. That's why it's important to be loving, kind, respectful, and treat everyone the way you would like to be treated, and a heart. Unquote.
Well, it sounds like she's
pro-Antonio Brown.
Pro-Antonio Brown. Like,
if you think this is about Antonio Brown, then yes, absolutely.
I think the timing of it would make sense. It could just be a nice little motivational thing there.
But she's definitely prone to that.
She is, it wouldn't be her first.
It's a motivational thing like that.
It does feel a little bit like a specific situation
that's going on right now.
Don't believe everything you hear.
Right, you almost. Know, you get to know the person.
How about that?
617-779-7937. Michael McCann joins us in 15 minutes, just after the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Yeah, I spoke to Antonio Brown's attorney, Darren Heitner, last night, and the first thing that he pointed out was just emphasizing that in two separate instances in the statement that he put out on behalf of Brown, that Brown is not just denying some of the allegations, but that, quote, he's denying each and every instance of the allegations that the accuser, Brittany Taylor, is putting forth against him, and that he potentially would like to pursue every legal remedy on his behalf, including potentially countersuing for civil extortion, and that Antonio Brown is doing this emphatically, one, to clear his name, and two, to protect other athletes against, quote, false accusations.
That's Josina Anderson earlier today on ESPN. She's very tied into the Raiders organization. Mm-hmm. Has great connections. She's got league-wide connections.
Yeah, she really has been burking a lot of news the last couple of years.
She's very tied into the Raiders. And
she had her serious voice on there.
Well, she did.
It is.
And obviously, these are very serious allegations.
I would go more than, like, if I was Antonio Brown, I wouldn't just go with the civil. I would see if there was some way for me to file criminal charges against her for extortion, and would want to see her. And now, if I'm him and I'm saying this is not true, I would want to see her do jail time. So I would go past. I would say no, I don't want to do civil. I want criminal charges. Can I bring up criminal charges against her?
I'll say this. If what we're dealing with here, and his camp is telling you mm-hmm. this was a consensual sexual relationship.
Right.
That apparently he wanted to end and she didn't want to end. And you know, if we go with that, man, you're going to have a hard time proving. Everybody's going to have a hard time proving anything.
Well, no, I know
that's
that.
That's really difficult.
I know you're going to have a hard time proving anything, but just if you're, like you said, Rich, if you know without a shadow of a doubt
that you're innocent,
you're 100%. I'm looking for everything, every possible thing. Now, you know, I might not get anything, but at the end of the day, people are now going to see that you're not just going to make these allegations up and throw these false rumors out there.
So one of the things, and I think, again, you first see the headline, you say, oh boy. And then you start to get into some of the details. And we've already gotten emails and text messages. Like, a lot of things came up overnight, right? Like, we got a chance to see a lot of the stuff. We got to learn a little bit about their history. Again, Antonio Brown and this woman met in college. Then they weren't really associated with each other for many years. Then they got back together, kind of. She was a trainer. She was a gymnast at Central Florida and was kind of his trainer. The emails that he sent to her are kind of undecipherable. Like, it's not really English, but it's hard. Be the worst thing. It doesn't necessarily make him guilty. But if you go through and read those, and some of those, I don't think we can't read them on the air.
No.
But you've probably seen them by now. They're out there. And I don't know if he's kind of admitting to, like, the first or second thing that he's accused of, not the third one, which was the rape.
The more serious
one. The forcible rape. The other ones, he kind of is admitting to it, but he also seems to be annoyed that maybe she's holding this over him. Like, I read that one. I'm like, that's probably the worst thing for Antonio Brown. Meanwhile, for Brittany Taylor, there's a story that she was trying to get Antonio Brown to invest $1.6 million into this project that she had, and he didn't want to do that. And so that sort of leads you to think, all right, is she trying to get money from him? And there's a couple of other parts in there, too, where you're like, oh, man, like this is not very cut and dry.
I'll interject this hole in her story here, and because you mentioned it, the third and much more serious allegation,
yeah,
which is the rape allegation,
yeah,
and the story, if you read the lawsuit, mm-hmm, is that this happened. It was graphic. It was forcible.
Right, it was physical.
It was bad, and she left the house, obviously,
mm-hmm,
and the next morning went back to the house by herself to get her stuff. Now, if, as alleged, he had done what she said he had done, I don't believe I'm going back there by myself.
Yeah, see, that's one where, again, it's hard to put yourself in her mind. I can understand how a woman would feel ashamed and would not want to immediately tell the police. Like, that part I can see.
Right.
I could see keeping it to yourself and just being a secret and just living with it and being all that. I've heard those stories, and I understand those stories. Returning by yourself the next day does seem odd, because
it's always about the fear factor.
Wouldn't you be terrified?
I'd be scared to death.
Wouldn't you be terrified? And again, you'd be scared. Yeah, right. Wait, you'd be scared not to tell the police because you're like, oh my god, what is he going to do next?
Right.
Like, that part I get, but to say, well, I'll just go back the next day and get my stuff. Like, no, you just leave your stuff. Like, forget your stuff. You're not getting your stuff.
Or at least I go back with my brother or my dad.
Right. Or even a girlfriend or something like
somebody.
A witness, basically.
Because the fear element, and you know, when you hear stories of women that have been assaulted, right, and it's, you know, a lot of the times if it's from somebody they know, the biggest thing, or even somebody they don't know, it's the fear element of it maybe potentially happening again, or they talk about they don't want to be by themselves and they have trouble.
Right.
And like you said, to now go back by yourself is definitely one of those situations where you're like, well, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and I know that there's a lot of stuff that mentally might be going on after that's happened.
Right.
But I think that would be the biggest thing that would stand out more than anything would hurt. What you would look at being how afraid she must feel to not just be around
that
him, but to go back to his house by herself.
And that's one of there are several holes in her story. And I'm not, by the way, again, let me repeat this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you this woman is lying. I don't know what happened. But as I read through it, I'm thinking, that doesn't make sense.
But it also could be things like that maybe the Patriots were aware of. And they said, you know what? It's going to be a lot. When this news does come out, we're going to have to weather the storm for a little bit. But we feel like there's a chance we could be on the right side of it. And in a few weeks, he'll be on the field. There'll be some other crazy story that we're talking about. It's the biggest story right now. But as we know, in a couple of days, it could easily be something else.
But see, that's the other thing that I want. Like, that's the thing that sticks out for me in this case is, like, the time that it took, right? And I understand that there are some people that it takes time for them, like you said, a couple months or whatever.
Right.
Or maybe they see a person on television that, you know, brings everything back up. But I always feel like in certain situations, you know, and I guess, you know, from the reports, she had a good relationship with her mother, or she might have told her mother.
Yeah.
You would think that there would be some type of information over the year and 4 months from the last time that it happened, stuff would start leaking out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Well, or there'd be whispers or that kind of thing. Yeah, this is all has happened in what, 3 days? How many days has this been dropped in?
Yeah, Saturday, I think, to now.
Well, Saturday's when the first leak happened.
Yeah.
The
Saturday,
lawsuit
Sunday,
was filed.
Monday,
the civil suit was filed on Monday. We're sitting here on Wednesday, and it's time to talk to Michael McCann. We'll do that when we come right back. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy's in the house as well. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.